On 11:16 SEN, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence. For the Namurka Golf Club, the cheapest golf trip in the Riverina region with quality guaranteed.
G'day everybody, and we are live from the House of Golf Malvern, just in time for the semi-finals of the Wednesday Bayford Group X League. Craig Spence is here with me from the Australian Golf College, or Australian College of
Sport.
Golf
program.
I'll get it right soon. Good to see you, Craigie boy.
Good to see you, Marco. Good to be here at X.
What do you reckon? What do you reckon about this place?
Have a look at it. I like it. It's awesome. Good to see the leaguers in here too, the hardcorers.
The hardcore leaguers. Yeah,
yes.
They are. Now, let me just set the scene for everybody at home. You better come down and check this out because it is pretty fun. It is fun. Now, the Cowards, this is the semi-final night. Next week, the grand final. The Cowards, Jack Riewoldt's team. They are taking on the Islanders just at the moment. Who's winning this game at the moment in front of us, Islanders or the Cowards? Right.
Oh, it's tight.
Very, very tight.
It's right on
and in the
edge.
Other semi-finals, the More Wrongs, are taking on Dude, Where's My Pa?
You've gone with the funny
name. I like the funny name. The grand final next week. Next week at the grand final here, apparently at X Golf here in Melbourne.
Yep.
Full-on national anthems. They make them line up and face each other. They eye each other off.
No.
And the national anthem is played.
Are you serious?
Yes.
MCG style.
Yeah.
Is it going to be someone singing it live, or is it just sort of?
I think Daniel Long sings it live. He does. Thumbs up everywhere. Daniel Long sings our national anthem.
Do you know the national anthem, Marco?
Yeah, a couple of times.
From start to finish.
Most of it.
Oh, okay.
You?
Like me, most of it.
Still trying to work out what GIRT by C is, but we'll get past that. It doesn't matter.
GIRT.
Now, tonight.
Yes.
Tonight. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the US Open, but our listeners tonight have the opportunity to win a $50 voucher to X Golf here in Malvern. Now, you know, we've just gone past the shortest day of the year, so not much time to play golf, but if you come down here, you can play 18 holes in about an hour and a bit.
Nice.
And tonight, for our best callers, two of the best callers, we'll probably just give them away randomly. Your observations from the US Open, 9-4-2-9, 11-16. Now, we're going to start with you, Craigie boy. You had a good look at it. We know Jordan Spieth won.
Yep.
But give us your number one observation for the week from Chambers Bay.
Might not be my number one, but the first thing that comes to my mind is Rory McIlroy. As good as he is not Tiger Woods, and we should stop comparing him to Tiger Woods.
How many majors has he won? He's won four.
Yes,
he's still very, very young.
He has.
So you're putting a line through him getting past Tiger?
And I want to say this.
Are you putting a line through him going past 14?
Definitely putting a line.
How many do you think Rory McIlroy will win, the majors, the big ones?
I think he's an eight.
An eight?
An eight kind of a guy.
Yeah, yeah. Will he get the career Grand Slam? Just got to win the Masters. You'd reckon he'd win that one.
Yeah, I think he'll get the career Grand Slam.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with eight.
Righto.
And the reason I noticed this week, he had momentum in that final round, right?
Yeah.
And he stuffs it in there on 14. It was the 14th, roughly, 13th.
Yep.
I should know that.
Yep.
He stuffs it in there to what, 6 feet, 8 feet?
Yes, on a roll.
He's got momentum. He's back in the tournament.
Yeah.
He's actually, if he makes that, he goes to 3 under.
Yeah, in it.
More than in it up to
his
eyeballs.
What sort of putt did he hit?
Well, he just pulled it.
Right.
It never.
So based on that, he's not Tiger.
Tiger would not have missed that putt.
Yeah, well, that's true. I can't fault your argument.
Tiger for 12 years
never missed
an opportunity.
Never.
At all.
Yeah. The other thing about Rory, I don't think he scares people off leaderboards.
No.
No. Where Tiger Woods, when he was at his greatest, and he scared people off leaderboards.
I'm not saying Rory is a bad golfer. Rory is an unbelievable golfer.
He's a freak.
He's a freak of nature. But
he's not the new Tiger.
Tiger's not coming along anytime soon, is he?
No.
Right? Jordan's not Tiger either.
No.
By the way.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the skill set.
Yeah,
he doesn't have the athleticism, the skills,
yeah.
the raw, crazy, you know, 9 out of 10 only been five guys in the history of the world that could hit a golf ball like him.
Well, we're going to come back with a couple of more of your observations in a tick. 9429 1116. Give us your golf, US Open golf observations from Chambers Bay, or you can send them through 0433981116. Paul's in Boronia. G'day, Paul.
How you going, gents?
Yeah, we're well, Paul. Hey, straight off the top, mate, $50 X-Golf voucher for you to come on down here and have a hit one night. It's great fun down here.
Beautiful, fantastic. Yeah, look, my observation is I think the boys need to harden up a little bit, the pros. Like, yeah, sure, it's a tough course, but, you know, shouldn't they just play whatever in front of them and just, you know, show their skills off a little bit?
Yeah.
Now, you're talking to two pros here, or ex-pros.
Yeah.
You're talking to two ex-professionals. My observation...
I want to say something after you.
...is that they were the worst greens I've ever seen. In my life, the worst I've ever seen as far as the role was concerned in a major championship. Mm. Now, I'm sure if you go back to what Bobby Jones was putting on, it may have been a little bit different. But I've never seen worse greens in my life. And I wouldn't be surprised, not one bit. And I've watched Dustin Johnson's putt a million times. I don't think he pulled it that much. I reckon he's got a wobble halfway, and it has missed the hole due to the wobble. And,
did you?
And you know, I think he did. I don't think he pulled it. I
thought it wobbled off the club face myself.
Did you? I thought it wobbled halfway.
Yeah.
I thought it wobbled halfway because there's no... He wasn't in that position, and we saw Cameron Smith and his ball roll back to the hole. I mean, I thought his ball was going to stop 4 foot short.
Yeah.
It ended up going to 6 inches. Mm. There's no way Dustin's trying to hole that putt because did you see the stroke? His stroke was a 1 inch...
Yeah.
Stroke. Mm. So he's just trying to lag it up. If it goes in, it goes in.
Could you have two-putt that, Marco?
Probably not.
No?
No. Oh, mate. Oh, you're kidding. It was a hit and hope situation.
I played in one US Open.
Yeah.
At Pebble Beach.
Yeah, how are the greens at Pebble Beach?
So bumpy.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to get at, is everyone thinks American greens are dead flat and perfect. But they're not. The worst greens I ever putted on as a pro... We're all on the US tour.
Yeah.
And they were all in California.
Yeah.
Or West Coast.
You didn't play much on the Asian tour, I get it.
I did. I played a fair bit, but I'm talking bumpy Poana. You know, Pebble Beach, they never refurbish their greens because if the greens are shut for more than 10 minutes, they're losing thousands of dollars every minute, right? The guys are paying $480 a round. You're not shutting down 18 greens for very long, right? So they never redo their greens.
All right.
Except for they finally redid the 17th green recently.
Couple, yeah.
But they were so bumpy.
Worst
and
ever.
And I'm looking at this going, hang on, I know they're bumpy guys, but Billy Horschel's comments were just ridiculous.
Did you play the year that Tiger went ballistic?
Tiger won by 15 shots.
15 shots.
Yeah.
And they said that was ridiculous golf. Good on you, Paul. Leave your name with Braden, the superboy back there. Hey, Sean's next in Essendon. G'day, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, sorry, good, Sean. Give us an observation from the US Open. Anyone can. 9429 1116.
Apologies. I actually don't have an observation. I didn't see any of the tournament. I was too busy working. But I've got a question. You made a comment before about only about five guys could hit the ball like Tiger in the history of golf. Just curious to know, you know, the other people in that category of ball strikers.
Good question, Sean.
I reckon there's lots of them.
No, this is what I want to get at. There's been great ball strikers, but I'm talking about... elite athleticism and power.
Yeah, I'll finish.
I'm talking, there's only a few. There's Greg Norman.
Yep.
I would say you've got Jack Nicklaus.
Yep.
I might not even put Ben Hogan in there.
Oh, you can't.
Right? Because
he wasn't a
monster like those other guys.
No.
You know, he was just a
Jack
beautiful.
Jack changed everything.
But I would almost put Vijay Singh. I'm talking 10 out of 10 talent level.
Yeah,
Vijay, Tiger, Norman.
I'd put Monty in there, hitting the ball.
Well, then we've got to put Hogan in.
Why?
Well, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. Who was the best that you saw? The best
ball striker I ever played with and saw was Robert Allenby, and he was five steps better than anyone else.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I was in the last round once with him in a Johnny Walker Classic at Royal Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in the last group going the last day. It was a five or six club wind, and he hit the ball like it wasn't blowing.
Wow.
I mean, He was still knocking on the par fives with irons. I'd never seen anyone hit the ball like Robert Ellenby did, and I agree with you. If you ever got to see Robert Ellenby warm up with a two iron, his two irons on the driving range, I've never seen anything like it to this day.
The way he swung the club.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
What?
A bit weird, I thought.
It was the most natural flowing motion you'll ever see.
It's almost like his arms didn't move in the swing.
I can still remember, Mark, I can still remember the first shot I ever saw him hit was at Kingston Heath on the eighth hole, a six iron.
Yeah.
Back middle pin.
Yeah.
Into the wind in a Vic Amateur match play championship.
Yeah.
And the ball went 100 metres in the air and plugged behind the hole about 8 foot. And it was like, oh my, there was the best flight I'd ever seen. I never saw a flight better than that.
Good on you, Shauno. Thanks for your call. Bill's next in South Melbourne. G'day, Bill.
Yeah, hi, mate. I think the winner should have been Louis Hoogelhausen.
Yeah.
And there was not one mention of him yesterday's paper. He shot 77 in the first round.
29 on the back nine. How about 29 on the back nine of the tournament? I think he had six birdies in the last seven holes.
He might have been the best player for the week. Oh, boy. Except for the start.
Right. Well, he had to watch Tiger. Tiger Woods may have cost Louis Oosthuizen a US Open.
Probably.
Well, he had to watch Tiger shoot 80.
85.
And he had to watch Ricky Fowler. What did Ricky Fowler shoot? I think Ricky Fowler shot 81 the first day.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler shot hundreds, yeah.
So those two might have cost Louis a US Open.
Is Louis the best swinger of the golf club?
No.
Going around today?
He's the smoothest swinger. How about the effortless power? I'll give you another observation. Can I give you another observation from the US Open?
Okay.
Louis Oosthuizen and Ricky Fowler were bombing it 30 metres past Tiger Woods off the tee.
Mm, that wouldn't make Tiger happy.
Oh, mate. He would be filthy. A little guy, little Ricky Fowler, and Louis Oosthuizen, who looks like he's going at it at 60%. A 60% swinger and a little jockey guy were both bombing it past the great Tiger Woods with the big biceps, mate. It was hard to believe. Dom's next in Blackburn. G'day, Dom.
Hey, Dom.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Yeah, my observation was I think I saw Tiger hit a three-wood worse than I've ever hit one, one on 18 where he just teeled it into the bunker.
I haven't seen this shot. Explain the shot to me, Dom. I had a few people at work today try to explain this exact shot. I'd given up on him. What happened on the last hole?
Well, I think he had about 280 or something, 250 to the green. And it was like he hit it in the heel, and it just ran basically, you know, a few foot in the air, about 100 metres into the bunker. It was ridiculous. And if he continues to fall off the cliff, when they review his history, is demise going to be talked about nearly as much as how great he was?
Dom, did you watch? Did you watch Tiger's entire first round, Dom?
No, I didn't.
Well, I did.
I did.
And I wanted to point something out, Marco, that you may go back and look at.
Yeah.
Tiger had a long bunker shot on the third hole, I think it was. It was either second or third hole. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He had a long 35-meter trap shot.
Yeah.
I want you to go back. He makes a great golf swing at it, right?
Yeah, because he's
thinking
about it.
It's a completely different sequence. He doesn't dip down into it. He doesn't get stuck and steep on it. Mm. He just moves the club. And I wanted to tweet Tiger. I think we should go on a Tiger tweet.
Getting to
and
change.
Try and get the message. Tiger, you need to go and look at that footage.
Yeah.
Right? This might sound weird. I'm sure it does. But he can fix himself by looking at that footage. Because what he does is what do you do when you hit a trap shot? You have to allow the club
just to
release, right? Just to go, right?
Yes.
You don't trap it.
You should start hitting it from the top a little bit. Maybe that'd stop him. I heard Greg Norman, or one of the commentators, talking about his full swing. And Tiger, the gap, he doesn't want the gap to widen. And when it was explained, they're talking, when he gets to the top of the swing, the gap from the hams to the belt buckle.
Oh, okay.
They don't want that to be stretched. So if you get to the top of the swing and there's a rope on your belt buckle to your hands, you don't want to stretch the belt buckle.
Right.
Or you don't want to stretch the rope.
Yep.
And that gap, he's trying really, really hard not to widen.
Mm-hmm.
It widens every time it's a bad shot, if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
His hips are going so quick, it's unbelievable. So I know what you're saying.
Well,
What would Butch tell him? I reckon Butch would tell him to go in at 80%.
Yeah.
I reckon that'd be the number one. You're not Tiger. You're not the old Tiger anymore.
Yep.
These young kids are going to knock it past you. Stop trying to hit it past them.
I'm going to go on Twitter and try and get that message to Tiger.
Let's do it right now. Good on you, Dom. Okay. Thanks for the call. Benny's next in Parkdale. Give us an observation, Benny.
Oh, I got two observations. One, the greens at Chambers Bay, I think, were ridiculous.
Okay.
The greens?
Yeah, the greens.
The smoothness. The smoothness
The actual green complexes, the way that they were designed and obviously shaped and stuff like that. Like, to have putts of, you know, 20, 30 feet and you're aiming 30 feet left or right of the hole is a bit silly.
What do you think about the aprons being the same length or the same cut as the greens?
Yeah, I disagree with that. That's
it's
my personal
rubbish.
Opinion.
Yeah,
but
I hate
the second
it too.
Point would be, Marco,
yep.
I think we had this conversation probably 6-8 weeks ago when Hazy was on your show.
Yeah.
And I said to you, the talks for the European Tour and the Australian PGA merger are a lot further along than what...
Yeah, you were spot on, mate. You were spot on.
I was spot on. And I've got a sneaking suspicion you'll find that after the Australian PGA up in Queensland, I reckon you'll find that there'll be an announcement near start of next year that the Masters and the Australian Masters and the Australian Open will be a part of the European Tour schedule.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right, Benny.
He's got a leak at the PGA.
Yeah, Benny knows what he's... Hey, Benny, you got the $50 voucher to X Golf here at the House of Golf in Melbourne, mate. Leave your details and make sure you come on down here and have a bit of a look. And get a few boys together. Come down and join one of the league nights. Just ask the boys at the House of Golf Melbourne and they will hook you up. Good on you, Benny. Thanks for the call. We'll talk about that in a tick, I reckon, too. I just want to get your thoughts on the PGA. So it's not the tour, but the Australian PGA is now part of the European Tour. Matt's in Cheltenham. G'day, Matt.
Good evening, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good,
Matty.
Great to have you back on the wireless, Marco.
Good on you, Matty.
Now, I can explain that Tiger three-wood shot on Thursday in two words.
Yes.
Cold top.
Cold top.
Yep. He actually just tops it.
All right, I've got it on my phone. I'm going to have a look at it in the tick. Just a cold top.
What did you think of the golf course, Matty?
I enjoyed watching it. I'd hate to play it, even as a 12 marker. And I don't mind the concept of a golf course all being the same turf, but the Great British Links, you know, have been around for 300 or 400 years, and the fescues had time to develop, but I'm not sure that it was thick and dense enough after 7 years at Chambers Bay to actually provide a putting surface. So Keimer's comment about it being like putting on broccoli is actually really, it's a really good analogy, because the balls just did bubble. You know, good putt, turn at right angles a foot from the hole. That shouldn't happen.
No, that shouldn't happen, man. I'm with you. And I'll tell you what, Matty, the one observation I wanted at the top of the program, they're so lucky it didn't blow. Apparently it blows there quite a bit. If it blowed anything like we'd expect it to at Chambers Bay, that would have been a horrifying... In the end, it was a great tournament to watch.
Yep.
I mean, it was one of the great finishes to a golf tournament we've ever seen. But, gee, if it blew, it would have been really ugly.
I like what Ogilvy said. He basically said they didn't quite get it right, but he likes what they're trying to do. Because I'll ask you, Marco, do you want to go back to 25-metre with the ruler-wide fairways or 15-metre, and then all the rough has to be the same length?
No,
there's no recovery shots. It's all pitch out into the fairway again.
I want to see them playing the classic courses, though.
Yeah,
and
I do too.
I want to see some short... mown areas around the greens, and I want to see
bouncy stuff. Though
I want to see some firm small greens, and that's the test. And if you hit a good shot, it's rewarded. That's what I want to see.
I made this point, if I can make it before we get to Rob. This course seemed a little bit... I loved it by the end of the week, but it seemed like it was overdone. They tried too hard. There's too much bunkering.
Too much.
There's too much going on.
Too much crazy stuff.
It's you can't walk from one green to the next tee without a buggy.
Yeah.
It takes you about 15 miles to get around the golf course.
Nah, it's rubbish. If a group of four played there, it would take 5.5 hours
to walk it.
No, they shouldn't make golf courses where it's going to take 5.5 hours to play. No. Rob's in McKinnon. G'day, Rob.
Hello, Jim.
Rob.
Hey, Robbie.
Speak with you. Always like to speak around major time.
He's good on you, Rob.
If we accept for a moment that the greens were bumpy and that there were some freaky bounces,
yeah,
it was still an incredible setting, an incredible golf tournament where the top players in the world rose to the top with great theatre.
No, look, I agree with you a million miles an hour, Rob. I really do.
Yep.
But to me, to see a tournament like the US Open and know all the great golf courses, the classic, beautiful old American beauties sitting around, for them to go to this joint where the apron is the same colour as the green.
You really don't like that.
Oh, please. They've got dots around the course.
It's not actually the same length, is it, Marco?
Yeah, it's the same length. They actually put dots around the green so you knew where to wash your ball. So there wasn't a green cut. Just the apron. So the apron was a little bit shorter than the fairway, but the apron was the same cut as the green. And just, you know.
What about that finish, though?
Oh, the finish was unbelievable. And Cameron Smith and five Australians finishing in the top 20.
We need to.
Yeah, very, very good. Hey, we need to get a break out of the way.
Yep.
Coming up, though, we've got an unbelievable deal. Carl Schmedley from X-Golf is going to come up and talk to us. One, we've had an unbelievable deal for Chasing Birdies listeners. And pro spacing as well. Now, we've been on about this before, but we've never really had Carl on to really explain.
What, gapping in the clubs?
And how it's done.
Love a good gapping.
And we love gaps. Oh. We do. We love it. But your top five, which is actually introduced as a top 10.
Yes.
What are we doing it tonight on?
The greatest chokes in golf, in courtesy of our man DJ this week.
Righto. The top five list, Craig Spencer's top 10 list coming up next.
Yes.
The greatest chokes golf has ever seen.
Craig Spencer's top 10 list, brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Righto, the Craig Spence top 10 list, which is actually just the top five. And you told us before the break, we are doing golf's greatest ever chokes, the top five, if you don't mind, before we get the Carl Schmedley from X-Golf. Please, Craig.
All right, number five, the one and only Marco at St. Andrews. What year was that?
1970.
Doug Sanders.
Yeah.
And I've always said this was not that easy of a putt.
It was a pretty tough
putt. But it was still 3 feet. But why I'm giving him a massive choke was because before he putted it, he bent down to pick up a leaf that wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
And
I've spoken to him about that. I said,
yeah,
what did you pick up? And he goes, I didn't pick anything up. I just didn't want to hit the putt.
And the funny
That's
thing
what he
was,
said.
he just sort of grabbed the ground like
just
that.
Just grabbed something.
Yeah.
Pretend.
Like
a pretend bit of grass.
So Doug's going in at number five.
Righto.
All right. Number four, in 1997, the Victorian PGA,
don't do this.
A young Victorian
don't
had a six-shot lead. Had a six-shot lead.
Really?
With one round to go, but he was coming up against the crusty Mike Harwood, and it was Mark Allen. He'd let it. What'd you finish that day? What'd you shoot?
76.
That's pathetic.
Mike Harwood shot 66.
Yes, you make me sick.
Well, you didn't have to do that one.
All right,
number three.
Number three is the human ATM machine. No one likes this guy, Scott the Choke Hoke, because he had himself literally a 2.5-footer to win the US Masters.
Yeah, what's really unfortunate about that
green.
One?
What?
Is that your name rhymes with choke. You know? That's a disaster.
And he's not a choke.
Oh, what is happening here? The cowards are making a big comeback.
Yes, they're it's going off in here.
Yeah, it is going off here in the X-Golf. So Scott Hoke, number
Scott
three.
Scott Hoke at number three. Number two, Marco,
yeah,
is our man, the great white shark. I'm a bit worried how often he's getting onto my top five list.
You beat him once. You beat him a long time ago, and now he's your biatch these days. You seem to be putting in this list all the time.
Yeah, can I just say something? Can I just say something?
It's
Can you
get
imagine
back to
driving
him,
in your front gate
yeah.
and there's a statue of you with your chest there? Like, just think of that. That's real.
It would be
That's
strange.
He's actually doing that.
It'd be a strange feeling.
This is not pretend. Shark in 96 because he had a six-shot lead and it was a collapse, wasn't it?
It was
and then,
ugly.
And then number one...
Drum roll, please.
I played this golf tournament. I played the
so
British Open.
So
and
did
so
I.
did you.
I don't... This isn't a joke. He was unlucky.
Open Championship at Carnoustie. Jean Vandervelde stood on the last, needing a double bogey to win the golf tournament. Now, the choke here was Carl Smedley. Choke here was...
That's not right.
That he should not have hit driver off that tee. He should have hit an iron, chipped it up short of the pond, the burn,
yeah.
chipped it onto the green, and three putted
mate,
to win by one.
I disagree. Once he hit the driver and it was okay, all he had to do was hit some kind of shot over the Barry Byrne and not out of bounds left, and he wins and it hits a part of the
I'm angry.
Grandstand. It goes backwards 1 inch either way, and he's got a drop next to the green.
Paul
he can do whatever
Laurie.
He likes.
Paul Laurie won that tournament, mate.
No one even remembers him. What did you remember him for?
It was a joke.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, good list tonight.
Yeah, good list. Well done.
Considering we put it together.
I'm loving the top five list, actually, on
Thank
Chasing
you.
Booties every single week. Carl Schmedley is from X-Golf here at the House of Golf Melbourne. And he's George. G'day, Carl.
Hey,
mate. We've got a massive deal for Chasing Booties listeners this week. If they get on down to a House of Golf, you better tell us about it.
Well, we actually do. We're going to run it for the month of July. So if they come down and buy a set of irons from us, we'll talk about pro spacing in a minute. We're going to pro space their clubs for free. And also we're going to throw in an hour lesson with either myself or Justin McKenzie.
Now that is a deal and a half. So what's that? It's $300 worth of extras.
$320
worth of extras.
Yeah, all thrown in.
We need to explain what pro spacing is for the average punter out there, Smets.
Well, it starts with all the new wedges now have extra milling on the faces of their clubs, which creates extra spin. So that actually they're not going as far as what, my dose to hit my lob wedge 87 metres, I can't hit it over 50 now.
Because
it spins so much and it stops quicker. But so what I do from there, I work all my irons back from like a 7-iron, I want to hit 150 metres. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I'll get on the launch monitor and I'll hit my 7-iron and I'll keep tweaking it, I'll keep bending it around so it goes 150. And then I'll work all my clubs off that. So I'll go, my 6-iron will go 160, my 5-iron 170, and then back the other way as well.
Now, Craigie, now Carl, I mean, I know the boys down here, and Carl's been pro spacing for a long time, and he actually told me to come down to have a bit of a go at it.
Yeah.
So I brought the old clubs down, right, and they were
all over the shop.
Well, I'm pretty particular, I make sure that mathematically they all set up absolutely perfectly.
So all his lie angles and his loss were what they were supposed to be.
So five degree gaps between the wedges all the way down to the 9-iron, then 4 degree gaps, and then 3 degree gap down the bottom there.
Yep.
They were all over the place.
What was going on?
Well, because each club has different spin rates.
Different spins because different lofts, right?
That's different spin rates. Do you know why? Because the grooves are different. Yep. In the wedges, but two, the muscle that's in the bottom of the club these days changes quite a bit.
Yeah,
it changes quite a bit, and that has a massive effect on the distance your ball goes. So Carl actually showed me that the loft is absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah.
So for so many golfers, I mean, people who come in here and get their stuff pro-spaced, I mean, you must look at the clubs. And they're probably all pretty good off the rack these days, but they're all over the place as far as the spacing is concerned.
The last set of clubs I did with a young fella that Marco coaches, actually, they were perfect. They were spot on, but he actually found out he actually hits his wedges further than what he thought he would. Brand new set of golf clubs.
Yep.
We had to bend his 8 and 7 iron. We had to loft it up quite a lot because he actually hit it too far. And he was hitting the 7 and his 8 iron very close to each other. There was not much gap there.
Yep.
So now he's got a 10-metre gap in between each iron. How I found about was I was trying a few hybrids out for myself and I had a 3 and 4 iron. I found out that my 3 and 4 hybrid and my 3 and 4 iron, there was 5 meters difference between the total distance of the clubs.
Well, all four of them.
All four of them. So now my 4 iron is nearly the same loft as my 5 iron. It goes 180. My 5 iron goes 170.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Smeds. People's clubs should look far different to what they do at the moment, don't you think? I mean, if I bring a lady in here, she probably has 5 clubs in the bag that she uses once a year.
Well,
you know?
Oh, well, when we do ladies' clubs
here. She'll have her favourite hybrid, and then she won't use anything other than what she chips onto the green with.
Well, see, most ladies I find, I'll fit them out with a driver, and then I may start at a 7-wood because they can't hit a 3.
Correct.
Mathematically, they can't hit a 3-wood in the air. Unless it's in the tee, they can't hit it in the air. Yep. So we usually start around maybe a 5-wood, 7-wood, and we may start at a 5-iron, then we might go every second club. But what we're finding is
perfect.
A lot of the ladies actually prefer a fairway wood, not a hybrid, which is what I'm finding lately. They actually hit them better because there's more mass to the club.
More room for error.
Yep. And so ladies might walk out with 8 clubs instead of 13.
14.
They could have 6 different putters.
Which makes pushing their bag around a lot lighter as well.
Yeah, travelling.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So with the wedges that you see these days, I mean, do you think it's best when someone comes in to get pro-spaced, that you go to their lob wedge or whatever their biggest wedge is, and if they're happy with how far that goes, you leave it, and then whatever their 3-iron is or whatever their hybrid is, the ones that they can't bend. In this country, you can't bend a hybrid or a 3-wood, not too often anyway. And you just work from those two. So here's my lobby, here's my 3-wood. Let's get perfect gaps all the way down.
It usually starts with a conversation, and then I normally start with a lob wedge, and if they're happy with it, if they want it to go further, or you know, it depends on the individuals. They're all different. Like, you may want to hit your lob wedge 60 metres, you may want to hit it 70, and regardless of what it's on, what numbers stand on the bottom of it, we'll do it so it actually goes that far.
With your spacing, with your pro spacing, do you take into account the bounce options that someone might need? So, for instance, if someone's going to be playing different courses all the time, thick bunkers 1 minute, tight, you know, hard bunkers the next.
That usually happens when I'm selling the wedges.
Yep.
I might ask them where they're playing if they need. But what I normally do is I might have a wedge with a lot of bounce and then their other sand iron with no bounce.
Less.
That's
a good way to do
one,
it.
Yeah. Yep. I strongly believe you've got to have one with maybe a lob wedge with no bounce. Or very little bounces, and then you sand on with a lot. So if you get into those bunkers, you can open it up and you still splash it out.
It's a good idea.
And what I love about this, when you actually do it in here and you use, what's the thing that tracks the ball?
Launch monitor.
When you use a launch monitor here, you can use the golf ball that you use out on the golf course. You don't use some rock that you find on the driving range.
I like it.
So you use actually the ball that you use. The other thing is, when you're hitting off these mats, even though it's not a perfect lie, it's the same lie over and over, which is really important. The other one I love about hitting into just a wall is that no one's trying to bash the ball. You don't feel like you need to get the thing in the air.
True. No.
And a lot of people just make a normal swing. Mm. So I think with the conditions, when you come down to the House of Golf and ask to get your stuff pro spaced, it's as accurate as you'll ever see anywhere. One, the ball. Two, the lie's the same. And three, swinging into a net, no one's really trying to crash the thing. So you actually... You know, you don't have to come down and hit many shots. I mean, it's a process. If you're a half a player, you come down and hit two shots with each club, and the map comes up. You get a readout. You get actually different colours for where the balls land.
Yeah, so every club has a different colour attached to it, so you can adjust.
And you just see it. You can just see it. You go, oh, look at my 7 and my 8 iron. They're way too close together. So, you know, Carl, using his expertise, will either increase the 7 iron and make that go further, or drop the 8 iron back, or make just gentle adjustments all the way through. The other thing is, if you're doing it here at the House of Golf, it's instant. The bending machine, the loft and line machine, is right there.
I love the loft and line machine being right there.
Last one, Carl. How many people have come in and got pro spaced and found out that their lie angles are wrong as well, and that's easy to do on the spot?
Well, I found out mine were wrong.
There you go.
I've always been too flat, and I'm standard at the moment. I do, because when you hit it off the mat, it actually does mark up the bottom of the club.
Yeah.
And it leaves a track, so I can actually test your lie angle. I can do it without them even knowing that I'm doing it. I'm fixing the club up, so they're actually hitting it straighter.
Hey, just while we're here too, Stewie Leong, the Victorian PGA Coach of the Year, he coaches out of here.
He does.
So the ex-golf machines are accurate enough to where you can actually come in here at night and get a lesson from someone like Stewart Leong.
The two big machines that we have here, we actually have cameras hooked up to them, so you can actually see yourself on the big screen. But it also gives us data like impact angle. It tracks the club path, it tracks the ball spins, does everything. So I can sit there and I'd not even see the guy hit a shot, and I can see I can tell what they're doing wrong in their golf swing from the data from the machine.
And again, another one of just a few people off the SMS machine. They want to know whether they can have Bucks nights or Christmas parties here.
Absolutely. Just ring the shop and book it. We do function rates. We get them.
Anything else you
kids
do?
Parties. We actually do plenty of kids parties. So we usually do a kids party on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the Bucks.
The kids come down and hit shots
into the net. We've had a few kids that we actually coach that will book the venue out and do a kids party. And it's great fun.
Have we got a phone number, Carl, or we just Google the House of Golf?
Our phone number is 98220355.
Too easy. Carl, good to see you, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
I'll be in next week to have a look at the new TaylorMade.
We'll be fixing the TaylorMade up.
And I just need to get them pro-spaced just to make sure everything's running beautifully.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Carl. We'll take a break. Coming up, the quiz next, 9429-1116. Someone's going to win a $100 betting voucher thanks to sportsbet.com.au. Rightio, it is time for Bo Hostler's Mum's Quiz. Thanks to sportsbet.com.au, 9429-1116. Get online. There's a couple people there, but I'll tell you what, this is a really very, very tough quiz tonight, Craig. So someone's going to have a chance to win a $100 betting voucher thanks to sportsbet.com.au at the Travellers Championship. We're looking forward to that.
How did our man Bo go?
Bo Hostler? Actually, I think he made the cut.
Yeah, he did. He went tied for 58th.
Oh, rubbish.
And I've heard...
was his mum kidding?
Mummy was get out there in all sorts of funky sort of outfits for the week.
Did she have a blouse unbuttoned to the navel, a bit like Dustin Johnson's Mrs. The Great One's daughter? Did we see any action like that, or was it just pretty tame in the Hostler household
she
this time around?
She had, some skimpy outfits numbers going on. Did you think the Gretzky family had more white teeth than a grand piano going on over there?
Yeah, there were some real white teeth happening. But that's what happens in the States. You know that. You've never seen better teeth. Whatever they're doing, they must have plenty of fluoride in the water.
That was extraordinary stuff.
God, they've got some good teeth. Hey, the big news from the semi-finals here at the X League for the X Golf, the Cowards taking on the Islanders.
Yeah.
It looked like it's pretty much all she wrote. And the Cowards,
they'll win,
led by Jack Riewoldt, taking on Sydney up there in the SCG on Friday night, are home. They are into the grand final. So the Cowards, and I'll give you a bit of an update of the More Wrongs and Dude, Where's My Pa?
Do they play off for third?
What's that?
Do they play off for third? The More Wrongs and Dude, Where's My Car?
The More Wrongs, I think they do.
Okay.
I think they do. So hopefully we'll get a result and find out who's in the grand final for next week.
Pretty seriously too, Mark.
This is real serious what's happening here. Yeah. All right, it is time for the quiz. Let's get going. Matt's on the road. G'day, Matt.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Matty.
I like you already, Matty. Just a nice, pleasant type of hello.
Yep.
And he's also... Yeah, do you know how to play, Matt?
Yep, sure do.
Righto, even nicer.
All right. You want me to read them?
Yes, please.
21-year-old Jordan Spieth won the US Open.
Hang on. That's the first time we've mentioned his name in this show.
It's terrible.
That's bad. Go on.
We'll try and get him in at the end.
Yeah.
How many Australians finished in the top 20, Matt? How many?
Five.
Who were they, Craig? Can you remember?
I think it was Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Smithy, Cam.
Yeah, hard to forget Smithy.
Jason Day, of course.
Did he make it in the end? Because he was leaking.
Yeah, he finished it even.
Okay.
John Sendon. And I think
was it Sendon or are you sure it was Sendon?
Yeah, it was definitely Sendon. He was there.
And Ogilvy was
not bad
last,
off the top of my head.
That's very good. Well done. Question number two.
After a monster drive on the 72nd hole, Dustin Johnson hit what iron from 250 yards pin high on the last hole? What iron was it?
Six.
See you later, Matty.
Bloody close. It would have been a long six iron, 250 yards.
Incredible.
But you were real close. Damo's next in Epping. G'day, Damo.
G'day, boys.
Damo, what iron did he hit into the last hole, Dustin Johnson?
We'll go seven.
Oh, went the wrong way, Damo.
The wrong way, Dame.
Went the wrong way. Darren's niece, Bentley. G'day, Desler.
G'day, Marco. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, Darren.
He's a five iron, mate.
Well, and that was a bit cocky.
He's pretty confident, wasn't he, there?
Yeah, it was sort of like,
yeah, that's all right.
I'm bored with this quiz already, sort of an answer. Dazza, question number three.
Yeah, he's bored.
Tiger Woods is playing hopeless golf just at the moment.
Well, he is. It is hopeless golf. You're correct.
Hopeless without a P and E after the P, Marco.
Was it?
Hopeless golf
just
at the moment.
Hopeless.
How many over did he finish?
I think it was
the US Open.
16.
Dazza.
80-76.
You are good, and...
This is the money shot, buddy.
Overly cocky.
Yeah, I like it, though. I don't mind what he's doing.
All right, final question. Grand Slam watch has started. Spieth has won the first two majors a year. Which major, and where is it being played next, is the next major?
It's St Andrews, the British Open.
Nice work. He's good. He's real good.
Pretty special.
He's better than us.
Yeah, he is. Well done. That's James. Which one's this? Darren East Bentley, right? So James, James and Damo. Sorry, boys. If you want to hang on and have a chat, ask the 99 Masters champ a question, you may do so. Now, Darren.
Yep.
We are heading to the Travellers Championship. Do you know much about the tournament, Craig?
Yeah, it's the one up in...
Is it?
Huh?
Up somewhere, is it? Up north.
Up in Hartford?
I don't know.
Greater Hartford?
It's the tournament after the US Open that no one really cares about.
Yeah,
but Bubba Watson is playing.
Yep.
Gee, I found out this week. that he is the most hated,
disliked.
Yeah, disliked person on the PGA Tour.
Yep. Lynchy told us that.
Yeah. Oh, don't put Lynchy in.
I'm sorry, Lynchy.
He might not get back. He's trying to get extra work over there on the US Tour.
No, he's not. He's with us now. He's loving it.
Bubba Watson, Darren, at $13. Brant Snedeker played pretty well last week, $15. Patrick Reed, talking about ordinary units, $17. Sergio Garcia came on the run home last week. Very, very good, Serge.
Awesome.
He didn't like the greens very much, so at Chambers Bay, did he? $19. Billy Horschel, great name, Billy, $23. Louis Oosthuizen.
In good form.
Now, Louis, I love. And he could do some damage.
He's worth it. He's worth a little
$23 in this field.
And he played the best golf for the last 27 holes, didn't he? By far.
He did. He did. $23, is that good value or is that about right?
It's great value.
All right. Zach Johnson. Oh, Zachy. Zachy's the sort of bloke who'd win this soon at $31. Keegan Bradley. Brandon Grace, $34.
Did you see the booties Keegan was getting around in last week, by any chance?
Oh, the Air Those Jordans.
Air Jordans. Did you see the ones?
No, I didn't see him. How bad?
He's lost his mind.
Yeah, fair enough. Darren, anyone else you want us to look at?
Brooks Koepka, is he playing?
Brooks. Now,
yeah,
I love
good player.
Brooks.
But he had millions, didn't he? He had millions.
I think he made the
last
cut.
Last week?
No, I think he made the cut. Koepka. No, he wouldn't be 100-1, so he's not playing.
Okay.
Not playing, Desler.
Who do you reckon, Marco?
I'll tell you who I think.
Horschel?
Nah.
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, Louis. Louis Oosthuizen.
Louis
Oosthuizen at $23 is rock solid, Darren.
You reckon he can back it up?
Oh, yeah. Come on, Dazza.
Yep, I reckon he can.
It's not that. Right, it's not your money.
Down with you, blokes.
All right, good on you, Darren. Have you got a sportsbet.com.au account?
Yeah.
All right, well, Matty Campbell will give you a call tomorrow, mate, so get that done, and good luck.
Thanks, Dazza.
Darren from East Bentley there. Hey, you got a minute and a half to talk to me about Jordan Spieth.
He's incredible.
Why is he so good?
You know, Under Armour.
Why is he so good?
Under Armour sales are 100% up since he won the Masters.
So money well
spent.
What
are they going to be now? He will fly around in a private Under Armour jet for the rest of his life.
Yep. Why is he so good?
He's
what do you see?
Incredible mind. Yeah?
Yeah.
Incredible mind.
Strong, rock solid.
He still hits a few flary sort of weak shots to the right, but, you know, he's a nice, he's a beautiful putter.
You know, What's strange about his action? He's got the chicken wing. Now, you and I try and teach people not to have chicken wings. He's got a really open club face at the top with a weak grip, and he chicken wings it. You would think the board goes sideways right pretty much every time, and somehow he's a repetitive beast.
He is. No, he's unbelievable.
Best putting action I've seen.
And I like...
He's so confident.
How good of a kid is he?
Yeah, like. Champion.
He's an absolute star. I thought, Marco, that the finish to that tournament was very, very exciting.
Yep.
And I love the fact that there was those drivable par fours and a reachable par five with a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Yeah, it was good.
That was perfect.
Hey, thanks for coming down tonight to X Golf here in Malvern.
It's a fantastic
setup. I know you like it. I know you're going to hang around and play Beth Page Black, aren't you? You're going to play
now. I've already spoken to Smeds.
Beautiful. So if you haven't been down here, get to the House of Golf Malvern. It's an absolute cracker on High Street. And the league nights, just inquire within. Get yourself a little team together. And maybe one day you could be in the grand final taking on Jack Riewoldt. Jack Riewoldt will be in the grand final with his boys, the Cowards, next week. Finey, thanks again, mate, for letting us talk golf on your show.